the office of a lighting company when they took a call from Rod Stewart's team. He wanted something different for a stage set, something a bit more like a West End production, and my employers needed someone who could pull it off. I said I would do it. And that was the start of my career in business. At that stage, though, it was just an opportunity, not a business. I simply bought what I needed to buy, put it all together, and got sent a cheque for the work. I used the lighting company's bank account for that first job, and when it was finished, I carried on freelancing. I then got offered other work on the back of the Rod Stewart gig, and so I got my own bank account and set up SWA, Simon Woodruff Associates, designing stage sets for rock concerts. It was a bit shambolic, but when you're dealing with rock bands, they're all reasonably shambolic too, and if people thought you'd do a good job for a good price, then you'd get the business. I had the gift of the gab, and I talked myself into contracts, but when each one ended, I always thought I'd never work again. I felt I was getting away with it, and it took a couple of years to build up any confidence in my abilities. A few years later, I set up my first registered company, called S2, in partnership with a company called Norton Warburg that famously went bust with a lot of Pink Floyd's money. After that, I set up on my own and ran a company called Plumline out of an office in Wapping. People think that if you start a business, it's got to be perfect from the outset. And one of the lessons I learnt with Plumline is that you can't do everything in advance. I hadn't got the VAT sorted out or the accounts, but I knew fundamentally that if you've got the money coming in, then you're in business. I learned to prioritise, and I'd make lists of what had to be done. The first thing on the lists was always to get the checks in and make sure the show happens. When it gets to the stage that you need an accountant, then that's when you start worrying about getting an accountant. Eventually, I learned everything I needed to know about running a company, but at the start, the important thing was just knowing where the money was coming from. Perhaps the biggest lesson about running a small business is cash flow. If you run out of cash, then you run out of time, even if you've got clients and a track record. When I interview MBA graduates now, I often wonder what they really know about business. I made a lot of mistakes, but the big one was trying to make as much money out of every contract as possible, and sometimes that was at the expense of doing the job well. That's when I learned a really big lesson, that you're only going to get repeat business if you do your job well. It seems obvious now, but at the time it was too much hassle, and I just took the money. I don't think I was ever very good at what I did in those days, but Plumline did well enough to employ 5 people, me, a partner I'd taken on, a secretary and a couple of designers, and gave me a decent income, probably the equivalent of about £100,000 today. In the mid-1980s, we were pretty successful, and we were asked by Harvey Goldsmith to stage Live Aid. There wasn't much of a budget because it was for charity, but it was good for the company's profile, so we did it. It should have been a great time for me, but not long after Live Aid, I decided to walk away from it. I'd fallen out with my business partner, and I'd also broken up with a girlfriend, so looking back, I can see that I was probably depressed. But that wasn't the only reason behind my decision. Rock and roll had changed, and stadium tours were getting bigger, and some really fantastic designers were coming onto the scene. I hadn't built a structure that could sustain that kind of competition, and the events we were staging were getting more and more stressful. We had these huge budgets to deliver huge shows, and something could have gone wrong on the road, and I wouldn't have been able to respond. I thought I should get out before I was found out. Looking back, I can see that I could have turned it around, but I didn't have a vision for the company. I saw us as an alternative rock and roll business, not something corporate. But now I can see that our skills could have been used to design restaurants, or anything else, as well as stage sets. But I didn't think about moving the business in that direction. I always had this little voice that told me I wasn't up to the job, and I believed it. My decision to stop Plumline coincided with meeting a guy who was making money buying TV rights for concerts from bands' managers, and I thought I could do that too. I'd learned quite a lot about deals and contracts from Plumline, and the idea of not having to actually make anything was very appealing. So for the next 7 years, that's what I did, with varying degrees of success. After a while, though, I missed the creativity of making things happen and started looking around for something else. Eventually, I met a man who suggested opening a conveyor belt sushi bar, and my life changed again. I honestly believe that no matter how much physical preparation you do for a business, getting plans passed, finance raised, or staff appointed, the psychological preparation is just as important. I would actually give equal weight to preparing your brain to preparing everything else. And with Yo Sushi, I was finally ready for success in a way I hadn't been before. We're all a product of our upbringing, and I was held back by a limited belief in myself. I always thought that I couldn't be a really big stage designer for the biggest acts, and when I was in the TV business, I always thought that I couldn't go out and do deals at the next level. The incredible thing I've learnt is that the higher up you go and the bigger you think, there's actually no more work involved. If you think small, you get a small business. If you think big, guess what? You get a bigger business. What's the best advice you've ever had? No one ever told me that the only way to make money from business is to create value. The problem with service businesses is that they're only as valuable as their next contract, and that means they have no value to anyone but you. What do you wish you'd known from the start? I love my life, so I wouldn't want to change anything, but knowing that I was a pretty competent person who was creative and capable of anything might have made a difference with my earlier ventures. Also, some decent tax advice. If I'd known about things like marginal tax relief, I definitely would have been better off. What's the one thing you'd say to someone starting their first business? In the first 2 or 3 years, you have to do every single thing yourself. I learned to draw up accounts, PAYE, everything. But the only way to build a big company is to bring in management. When Yo Sushi had 4 restaurants, the money was rolling in. But because I was running it, the money was also rolling straight back out again. I brought in a fantastic manager, Robin Rowland, who's really responsible for growing Yo Sushi into the business it is today. I recognize that I'm an entrepreneur, which means I'm good at starting things. Just as Robin couldn't have started the business, I couldn't have achieved what he has. Contacts.